Chapter 4. Detlef got to the theatre in the mid-afternoon, leaving Genevieve sleeping in their rooms on the other side of Temple Street. The rest of the company were there already, poring over the reviews. The Altdorf Spieler, which boasted a circulation in the hundreds, was stridently in favour of The Strange History of Dr. Zeitkill and Mr. Chaida, and most of the lesser broadsheets followed its line. Felix Huberman picked out phrases to be flagged across the posters, humming superlatives to himself as he underlined them. Gripping, powerful, thought-provoking, spine-chilling, bowel-churning, will run and run. Guglielmo reported that the house was sold out for the next 2 months and heavily booked thereafter. The Vargabroigel had another hit. On the set, Papa Fritz, the stage doorkeeper and an institution in the theatre, was on his knees, trying to scrub blood out of the carpet. Detlef had ordered buckets cooked up in anticipation of a long run. When he had burst the bladder in his glove as he seemed to strike Eva Savinian, the whole audience had been shocked. He recalled the spurt of feeling that came at that moment, as if his own Mr. Chaida were gaining the ascendant, encouraging him to delight in horrors beyond imagining. As he entered the rehearsal room, cast and company broke into congratulatory applause. He bowed, accepting the praise that meant the most to him. Then he broke the cheer up by producing a scroll with a few more notes. When he was finished, and the girl who played the innkeeper's daughter had stopped crying, he was ready to consider the business matters Guglielmo Pentangeli thrust at him. He signed a few papers and contracts, including a letter of thanks to the Emperor for continuing his patronage of the Vargabroigel.
"Does that hurt?" Guglielmo asked.
"What? Your neck. You were scratching."
It had become an unconscious habit. His bites weren't painful, but sometimes they itched. Occasionally, after Genevieve bled him, he felt tired and drained. But today he was refreshed, eager for tonight's performance.
"Did you know the Chancellor had condemned the play in the strongest of terms? He said as much last night. It's here in the Spieler. Look."
Detlef cast his eyes down the column of blocky print. Mornan Tybalt had branded Dr. Zeitkill and Mr. Chaida an obscenity and called for a ban on it. Apparently, the horrors of the play were an invitation to the feeble-minded to act in imitation. Tybalt cited the Thumbtacks rioters, the Beast and the Warhawk as the logical results of a theatre exclusively concerned with the dark and the depraved, the violent and the vile. Detlef snorted a laugh.
"I thought those riots were a logical result of the silly tax Tybalt himself devised. He's still a powerful man at court." "A ban isn't likely, not with Prince Luitpold on our side."
"Be cautious, Detlef," advised Guglielmo. "Don't trust patrons, remember?"
He did. Detlef and Guglielmo had met in debtor's prison after the default of a previous patron. After Munzen Keep, everything seemed like an unconvincing play. Sometimes he was certain the curtain would ring down and he would wake up back in his cell with the other stinking debtors and no hope of release. Even a terrible death at the hand of Drachenfels would have been preferable to a life slowly dribbled away in the dark.
"Have Tybalt's comments engraved on a board and hang them outside the theatre with all our good notices. There's nothing that increases queues like a demand something should be banned. Remember the houses they got after the Lector of Sigmar tried to suppress Bruno Malvoisin's Seduced by Slaneshi, or the baneful lusts of Diogo Brysac."
Guglielmo laughed.
"The trapdoor demon is with us, you know," Detlef said. "I'm sure of it. Box 7 has been cleaned out."
"And?"
Guglielmo shrugged.
"The food was gone, of course.
It always goes."
This was a recurring joke between them. Guglielmo claimed the offerings were taken away by the house cleaners for their families, and that he should be allowed to put on sale tickets for Box 7. It was only a question of 5 seats, but they were the most potentially expensive in the house. Guglielmo, like all ex-debtors, knew the value of a crown and frequently mentioned how much the Varga Bruegel lost by not letting out Box 7.
Any other signs of spectral visitation?
That a peculiar smell, Detlef, and some slimy stuff.
Ha! Detlef exclaimed, delighted. You see? Many places smell funny, and slime is easy to come by in this place. A good fumigation and some new furniture and the box would be good as new. We need our ghostly patron, Guglielmo. Maybe.
The trapdoor demon heard Detlef and Guglielmo discuss him and was amused. He knew the actor-manager only pretended belief as a pose. Still, there was an obvious kinship between them. Once, years ago, the ghost had been a playwright too. He was touched that Detlef remembered his work. Few others did. From his space behind the walls, he observed everything, eyes to the peepholes concealed in the scrollwork of a tall cabinet no one ever opened. There were peepholes all over the house, and passageways behind every wall. The theatre had been built at a time when the reigning emperor alternately persecuted and patronised the players, necessitating the incorporation of multiple means of escape into the building. Actors who failed to please were able to get away without encountering the emperor's halberdiers, who then had a reputation as the harshest dramatic critics in the city. Several players had got lost in the tunnels, and the ghost had found their skeletons, still in costume, strewn in nooks around the theatre's catacombs. There was no formal rehearsal this afternoon. Everyone was elated from the night before, and eager to repeat the performance this evening. The test of a hit was its second night, the trapdoor demon knew. Magic can sometimes strike once and be lost forever. From now on, the company of The Strange History of Dr. Zeichill and Mr. Chaida would have to work to live up to their reputation. Papa Fritz, who had been with the house almost as long as the ghost, handed out mugs of coffee and flirted with the chorus girls. If anyone was responsible for the endurance of the legend of the trapdoor demon, it was Papa Fritz. The stage doorkeeper had encountered him on more than one occasion, usually when in his cups, and always embroidered and elaborated when he told of these incidents. According to Papa Fritz, the ghost was 20 feet tall and glowed in the dark, with bright red skulls in the pupils of his huge eyes, and a cloak woven from the hair of slaughtered actresses. Detlef did what the trapdoor demon would have done, and concentrated on Ilona Horvathy and Eva Savinian. They had few scenes together, but the contrast between them was vital to the piece, and last night Eva had outshone Ilona to the detriment of the play. The trick was to bring the one up without taking the other down. Ilona was not in a good mood, but tried hard, listening intently to Detlef and following his instructions to the letter. She was intently aware of her position. Having had twins a few years ago, Ilona was constantly struggling to keep her figure. Last night, she must have realised that in the next Varga Bruegel production, Eva Savinian would be the leading lady, and she'd be playing somebody's mother. Reinhard Jessner, on hand merely to read his lines, gave his wife support, but was careful not to tread in the director's way. Eva, however, was quietly firm, displaying a backbone of steel in her willowy body. She might step from ingenue to star on the strength of Nita, and was even more careful than Ilona. She was not a flirt exactly, but she knew how to flatter without seeming to ingratiate without being unctuous, to further herself without displaying a hint of ambition. In the end, Eva would be a great star, an extraordinary presence. The trapdoor demon had seen that from the first, when she had had the merest walk-on as a dancer in The Treachery of Oswald. Since then, she'd grown inside. He felt pride in her achievements, but also nagging doubts. Just now, while Ilona and Detlef were playing the scene in which Sonia first meets and is attracted to Chaida, Eva sat on a table, hugging her knees, watching intently. And Reinhard Jessner was in a huddle with her, massaging an ache in her back. Before scaling the mountain, you first conquer the foothills, and the gossip was that Eva would doubtless seduce Reinhard away from Ilona before she tackled Detlef. The trapdoor demon discounted this rumour, for he knew the girl better, understood her more finely. She wouldn't have a personal life until her position was assured. Then Detlef was working with Eva, restaging their final argument, smiling encouragement when he wasn't spitting hateful lines at her. After their dialogue was over, Detlef lightly tapped Eva on the skull, and she fell down as if mightily smitten. The company applauded, and Reinhard helped her up. The ghost saw Ilona watching her husband intently, chewing a corner of her lip. Eva, without cruelty or encouragement, pushed Reinhard away and paid attention to what Detlef told her about her performance, nodding agreement at his points, taking them in. The trapdoor demon realised he'd not misjudged Eva Savinian. The girl didn't need to bestow any favours. She would advance on talent alone. And yet, despite the affection he felt for her, he could not but realise there was something chilling about the girl. Like some great performers, there might not be any real person inside the roles.
All right, Detlef concluded. I'm happy. Let's go out there tonight and kill 'em.